At 93.3 FM K1 and a second Community Connection feature for you on this Wednesday morning. As we get set for the election, yes, there is a debate tonight. Yes, we will air that for you on AM 1400 tonight at 8 o'clock. But we're going to talk local elections right now. And candidate for the Ward 4 seat on the council, Alan Gentius. Nice to have you back in here this morning, sir.
Good morning, Charlie.
And I will mention for the listeners that at the time of the filing period, this was a contested race. Your opponent, Joel Rabin, had announced shortly after the school bond election that he was withdrawing from the race, but that was after the final date for the name to be withdrawn from the ballot. So it on the ballot, it's a contested race, but in fact, Mr. Rabin has withdrawn.
That's correct.
But an opportunity for you and I to talk and just get to know so that the voters of Bartlesville, the particularly the voters in the 4th Ward, get to know their new councilman. You are no stranger to government. In fact, you are the attorney that advises the town of Ramona.
That's correct. I've been working with the town of Ramona for about 10 years now. And actually, it's one of the reasons I'm interested in city government. I've seen how that works, and I think it's very important to the citizens. Sometimes we don't pay much attention to local government, but actually on the day-to-day basis, I think that local government has more of an immediate impact on the citizens' lives.
There's all kinds of quotes that we could attribute. All government is local. The government that's closest to the voter is frequently the most important government there is. But I'll just get your views on it. And City of Bartlesville, like the state of Oklahoma, budget-wise, could be in better shape in that cities depend on sales tax dollars, and that's not a constant supply. We have the Christmas shopping season coming up. We'll hope for good numbers there. But local sales taxes, local economy dictates what city government can or can't do.
That's correct. And the system we have is basically predominantly based on the amount of money we can bring in through sales tax. There are some fees with the utility that we run, but for City of Bartlesville, that's what we're dependent on. And it depends on how the economy is doing and how the citizens are doing, if they're spending money, and the merchants, if they're doing well.
You were part of a League of Women Voters forum as, the new voice on the council. I think was the main reason they wanted to include you in, because it is there is a contested race on the ballot. We've gone over that already. Just looking at the City of Bartlesville, at its business health, economic development, local development, retail shopping mostly drives what's going on. And let's just talk about the local economy and your views, your vision, if you will, on cities, particularly as it results to some of the things that have been going on recently with economic development.
Well, I think we're in somewhat of a unique position in that our council and the staff have had a forward look as far as doing economic development. Not all small towns do that. And, of course, there'll be a new development next to Lowe's that I'm sure everybody who's driven by there, they can see all the dirt being moved.
And that's a good thing.
It's a very good thing. I think there'll be several new shops in there. There'll be at least 3 new restaurants. There will be a second phase, I understand, which may be a much larger store that will go in next to the one that's coming in now. Mm-hmm. All of that does help fund the city, but more importantly, it provides additional places for folks to buy things. It increases the development of that area that at this point it's agricultural, doesn't do a lot for the local citizens other than, I guess, if we were growing a crop, but I don't think I've seen a crop there for a while.
I think it was primarily a wooded area.
Yes. So, yeah. Yes. And
which on the property tax rolls, if I were to put myself in the school district's point of view, is the lowest rate of taxation. They're not getting any that much money off of that property as it was either.
That's right. And I'll tell you kind of a personal thing that I can tell you that recently one of my aunts passed away in Missouri, and which is where I'm from, a little mm-hmm. town called Sedalia. And Sedalia is about 25,000 people.
Yeah, that's it. And Cardinal baseball affiliate at the local radio station there. I remember that. Yeah.
There you go. And similar to Bartlesville in some ways, I was struck as going downtown. I always drive around. I don't know if other folks do that, but I drive around to see how things are going, see where I used to go when mm-hmm. I was a kid. The difference between what we've done here and the plight of Sedalia is incredible. And we have an opportunity here, I think, with the development of downtown and what's already occurred. I only had a small part as far as a business person on down by the river, but the things that they've done are pretty impressive. And I think that that's going to be one of the keys as far as going forward. I think that, of course, the economic development, the TIF districts, some of the new TIF districts that I think may be in the pike. The continuing focus on water and the plans that they have as far as relatively short term, what I would call probably midterm, 20 to 50 years, and then the ultimate is to try to have a 100-year plan to make sure we have water. Water is going to be the number one issue that we face. It's not exciting to a lot of people. It's not something that people get too riled up about until the water doesn't come on, until we don't have enough. And the planning that I'm seeing and what I would like to be a part of to ensure that we do have water going forward, and then the economic development can happen. We provide probably the number one service that cities provide to the citizens.
And of course, speaking of water, the city of Bartlesville, those of us that have been around here for 10, 12, 15 years have some corporate memory of showering with a bucket or putting a brick in the stool or other things to help conserve water when things were low.
I have that memory also. And what I'd like to make is I'd like to be a part of making us a drought proof and not have those kind of concerns. And there's been a study done, it's been done quite some time ago, and that study looks like that it has a good path, and I want to be a part of that. I know, again, it's not something that people might get excited about, but it's a foundation, one of those building blocks that gives us an ability to go ahead and go forward with economic development.
Several citizens have, I'll say, been a liaison to the federal elected officials, primarily Senator Inhofe, but also Congressman Mullen and others that have a hand in that Water Resources Development Act, word of bill for short. And I don't know your plans, but certainly with your expertise as a professional, it's conceivable that you might be part of that discussion.
Well, and I think I will be, and I might be able to bring something that no one has been able to bring to the table before. With I've had other experience in Washington D.C., and part of this overall plan, as I'm sure you know and your listeners may know, would be to be able to obtain water from Copan. Lake Copan, and it's run by the Corps of Engineers. There are some impediments as far as getting that, but I think that I can be a help in that regard. I'm going to work hard to make sure that happens.
Ward 4, it has been compacted somewhat with the ward realignments, but still it's a fairly diverse ward when you look at the people that live there. Not that Bartlesville is by any means unilateral. We're not all the same anyway, but I think Ward 4 particularly seems to be a fairly diverse ward for you.
It's very diverse. You have, I think I talked last time about what the boundaries are, but you have what I would consider fairly affluent neighborhoods, and then probably the ones that are the most challenging economically within that ward. Plus, you have all the downtown area, which again goes back to the story I was telling you about Sedalia. It seems to me that we have a unique opportunity here in Bartlesville, mainly because of the leadership we've had up until this time, both in government as well as in the private sector in developing and renovating the downtown area. And I think that is a big part of the springboard that we'll have for continuing to develop and to increase our economy, our local economy here in Bartlesville. I'm not sure there's any other small town in Bartlesville, in Oklahoma, that has the kind of downtown resource we have here. And so that what we have in the Ward 4, we have the areas that are, there's some that are actually in floodplain and in flood zones, challenged economically, probably have felt left out. They won't be left out with me, city councilman. They can call me. I will go talk with them. I will try to lift all boats with this tide. And then we have the downtown area, which I think is a large part of our future. And then we have the, as I said, the probably the more affluent areas. Mm-hmm. And those folks, I've walked those neighborhoods, and as well as some of the other neighborhoods, and I plan to walk all of them. But those folks, they're willing to chip in, and they are committed to the city. And we have a tremendous resource with the folks that are here in this town, and people who are not only very talented, but who are willing to give their time and money to support what's important for Bartlesville. The other thing that I have seen is that it seems that we have a growing younger population, mm-hmm. lack of a better word, the millennials.
Sure.
And I think that we have to have an eye on that as to what they would like to see, and start developing those kind of things. And a lot of that has to do with what we've seen in the downtown area, and then the other developments that the council has already been involved in.
And I want to just say that making Bartlesville a place to live, work, and play is not solely a city council job. There is private business, there is the Chamber of Commerce, there is the economic development effort. But without the city council, a lot of those other things don't get done nearly as easily.
That's correct. It all comes down to leadership. And you have to have folks who are, first of all, not doing for the personal benefit. And secondly, who hopefully have the vision and the ability, and then who are willing to have the staying power to get the projects done. And we have, like I said, we have so much talent here that it would be silly for the council or for any governmental agency to just think, well, we're going to do this, you all stand on the sideline. It's going to take everyone, and it has. I mean, what has gone on before this race, it's very impressive. And sometimes when you're in the middle of it, you don't always see how good it really is. But there's been tremendous progress, especially in the downtown area. And I'm going to be a part of that to see that it goes forward.
City councilmen are elected from wards, and yet you're charged with the responsibility, among other things, as the best course for the city. Itself. Rarely do those two concerns compete, but there are times. Being plugged into your ward, any particular, I'll say, plan, agenda, things you would like to do to you know, remain as plugged in as I believe you probably are because you're out talking to people right now?
Well, I think that you just have to go and you have to be meeting with people. I mean, it's great that you all let me talk here on the radio and they get to hear me, but it's really
and by the way, assuming you are elected, which it's kind of an almost an extinguished sure thing, the council has a rotational schedule, and I'm sure Elaine or somebody will plug you in on that.
Right, and I appreciate that. But that's a one-sided conversation.
Right.
And so when I go to the door or I go to a local association meeting or go to a group or someone calls me up and they just want to talk on the phone, that's where you really get the idea of what the citizens are thinking and what they want. And I think that's probably the most important information that a councilman gets, because then they tell us, you know, what their concerns are. And I've already been impressed with, when I walk, I ask them if there's any concerns they have. Mm-hmm. And some have voiced some concerns. And I've been very impressed with how quickly, even though I'm not a councilman yet, but how quickly the staff is willing to respond to those kind of needs. Mm-hmm. And how responsive they are. I mean, I'm just a candidate, really, you know, just a lawyer down the river. I'm nobody, but very responsive, and I'm impressed with that.
I think I'll echo what I believe you're saying in that just like the candidates for the presidency are getting those briefings to be somewhat prepared to walk in on January 20th, even though you're probably not really prepared, but to give you the background information that you'll be, I'll say, more prepared when you take the oath of office.
Yes, and they've been, as far as the staff is concerned, and any information I need, they give it to me. And I've been reading this report about the water plan, which is pretty voluminous, but you know, in the law business, you're used to reading a lot, so that's fine, and I understand it. And other information they've provided, and if, in fact, I do get in the rotation to come on the radio, then I'll be talking about those things and maybe more in depth than the listeners want to hear, but that's the nature of who I am. I like people to have a good, deep understanding of what an issue is and what's happening. I think that way people understand, okay, things are really happening, and the council is really doing some work here, and I hadn't thought about that, but that does sound like a good idea. Or they can come back and say, well, you know, I don't know about that idea, and then maybe we need to take a different look, because, you know, this ultimately is the citizens of Barboursville government, and it's their money that we're spending. So, you know, we want to represent what they want, not just only what we want. Now, like I said, I do have some ideas, and I think that they'll be good. I have some ideas as far as I think that'll appeal to young people, and hopefully those kind of things will encourage people, if they're working here, to stay here, to live here, to spend their money here, to be involved politically, to be involved in the community, to be involved in such things as the Chamber of Commerce or economic development, or their church, or the boards. There's so many boards here.
And again, we talk about that frequently on this program, that there are so many boards, committees, commissions, depending on the nomenclature, that it is those volunteers that give background information to the elected officials.
That's right. And it's an invaluable resource. And ultimately, again, I think it comes down to leadership. I will do what I can with all of my ability to make sure that I'm providing the kind of leadership that they need and they want, and that, you know, Bartlesville continues to grow, people continue to prosper, and some who are not prospering start to prosper now, and that they feel like that if they call their councilman, that something, maybe not everything will get done, but that actually something gets done.
And I think it's an axiom that is usually true, even in politics, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So
that's true.
Well, first, thank you, first of all, for your volunteer service to the community, and be willing to work for that whopping $10 meeting paycheck. You will, no doubt, if you're not already, getting stopped in the line at the grocery store or wherever and say, hey, have you thought of this?
Yep, I've had that experience.
Candidate for Ward 4 on the Bartlesville City Council, Alan Gentius, with us this morning. Again, it on the ballot looks like a contested race, and but in reality, the other candidate, Joel Rabin, has withdrawn from the ticket. Thank you so much for your time this morning. Look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you very much. Can't say a second Community Connection this morning on AM 1400 K1.
Good day, everyone. I'm Dave Lanning on the Radio Oklahoma Network. Time to take a look at our agricultural markets here this morning.